You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're here. So, we're behind the paywall. Well, we're not behind the paywall yet. It's still public.
Before the paywall.
Before the paywall. I missed a step there. So anyway, what do we have here? We got Keaton in a comic. So what's this about? So I want to talk briefly before we go into the main topic of this Patreon preview, which is that DC recently released Batman number 900, which is also Batman number 135 at the same time. Don't ask. Comics, everybody. It's written by Chip Zdarsky with art by Mike Hawthorne, Jorge Jimenez, Mike Janine, I think it's pronounced, and Adriano de Benedetto, colors by Tomio Mori and Romulo Fajardo Jr. I'm really tripping over the names today. And letters by Clayton Cowles. I know that one. He did the letters on the Batman 89 comic. And speaking of which, he's in this. So Batman, the main comic book Batman, is on the hunt through the multiverse against a version of the Joker, and he travels through different roles to track him down. And that's when comic book Batman meets the Michael Keaton Batman, as we see here, who of course says, "I'm Batman." That's in here. Of the adaptations, Batman does end up encountering Adam West in a great moment, as well as three of the most beloved versions of Kevin Conroy's Batman. The BTAS version is in it, old Bruce and Batman Beyond is in it, as well as the Arkham Batman. It's a nice tribute to the different history of Batman in a very like supersized issue. So as we see here, Keaton's Batman is dressed in the 1989 suit. And that's not all. Due to the presence of the multiverse version of Joker, it looks like different Jokers are getting resurrected, which means the Jack Nicholson Joker is temporarily resurrected, as we see here. So this is reported on Action News, which was the main news channel in the Batman 89 movie. And of course, Jack Napier's name is name dropped. So this also appears to happen right after Batman 89, since Bruce is still in his 89 costume, like we see here. And it seems implied that Joker's body is missing from the morgue. Plus, it says Commissioner Gordon. It just says Commissioner Gordon here, which pretty much says it doesn't take place after the Batman 89 comic. So there we go. That's kind of a little small inclusion of the Batman 89 universe in that, which, you know, feels like it's also due to the fact that we've got Keaton coming back in the Flash. So it seemed like it was a good idea, too. Definitely got me to buy the issue this past weekend on Free Comic Book Day. So
was it good overall?
It's a good issue, especially considering the fact I don't have the other issues. So,
oh yeah, well that's good.
Here in the different versions of Batman who show up, so pretty cool. But recently we did an episode ranking the Batwings in live action, but two Batman flying vehicles were left out, and that's the Batcopter and the Flying Fox from the Justice League movie. And we're going to rank them alongside the Batwings right now in this kind of brief little mini episode, since they were left out. I saw a few comments. I couldn't find them anymore. Maybe the guys deleted them about like how we left out the Flying Fox. We're going to do the Flying Fox in this episode. But first, let's start with the Batcopter in 1966. So we definitely got the Batmotif here. This Batcopter has wings attached to
it. Yes, and it's got a cowl in the front too.
It does. It's amazing. And it also has all the different repellents inside as revealed in the Batman 66 movie, including the shark repellent bat spray, which, again, it's not in the utility belt. It's in the Batcopter, which is amazing,
right,
too.
Okay.
Yeah. Along with
that was in the comic,
other,
right?
The Batman number 900.
I think. I saw some article saying that the shark repellent is now canon.
It is. Yeah. It's in there. It's in there.
Okay.
So
Yeah.
So they definitely pay tribute to that in that issue. And the Batcopter is the one that has all the different repellents of the different sea creatures, which really shows how prepared Adam West Batman is, considering that he's shown to have that in the helicopter, not in the boat. He probably has it in the boat too.
I'm thinking like it actually would make a lot of sense if it's in the bat boat, and it wouldn't even be really silly at that point. It's just the fact that I don't know. I guess it doesn't come out of his utility belt in this movie.
No, he says, "Hand me down the shark repellent bat spray," and then Robin grabs it from the Batcopter and then climbs down the ladder to give it to him.
I got a little bit of Mandela effect going on with that, I guess. I thought it came out of his utility belt here, but go ahead, keep going.
Well, this is the Batcopter from the 66 show. It looks ridiculous for a ridiculous show, so it fits the show perfectly, I think.
When you say ridiculous, I think you mean awesome.
Yes. I mean, it's an A for me. Maybe an S. I mean, it's hard to beat the 89 Batwing, though. So, I just like...
Yeah.
Plus. It's an A plus for me. What do you think?
I give it an A. Solid A. Mm-hmm. I don't know about A plus, but, I probably would have gotten this toy if I was around in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got bat wings, got a bat motif. It fits the show. All the vehicles are black and red like this. Do we have more bat logos right there on the side? Do you know offhand?
It does. It looks like you can see the bat on the yellow oval on the, like the buoys here.
Yeah. Some buoy kind of thing.
Are. Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. I like this. It's funny. We never really got any kind of other bat copter though, right? Like in any other really. Live action.
Some consider the bat in Dark Knight Rises to be the bat copter because you see the propellers on things.
Right.
They consider that to be more of the copter than the bat wing, but even then it fails in comparison to this.
I think the idea is like it would be hard to kind of outfly anything like in a pseudo realistic setting. Like can you imagine like a slow ass helicopter and Matt Reeves? You know what I mean? Like the government's got all these jets and shit. Like, I don't know. Like people, you start thinking about that kind of stuff when the tone is a little bit more realistic, but
you also always know when a helicopter's coming.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of, you know, yeah, that's true. So I could see why they kind of stopped it at this maybe, but it's cool. This exists at least.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, let's put it in the ranking. So we got A, we also got Muschietti's, Batwing in the Flash. So it's up against that right now. Well, we haven't seen enough of it yet. We haven't seen enough of the one in the Flash. So I am going to put it above it.
You put it above it? Wow. Okay.
Well, should I not?
Like, it's
difficult
whatever.
To say because it has, like, we've seen enough of it. Whereas the Batwing, we've seen maybe, I don't know, 15 seconds of so far. Like, it's tough to say. Maybe this will change when we see the trailer. Again, this is
it
difficult because it's not really,
really the
Batwing
cool, though.
Either.
It looks really cool, though, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's hold it. This is kind of a placeholder ranking for now, and then we'll see how it ranks, you know, after the movie. How about that?
All right.
For a vehicle I don't think is going to be in competition with that, the Flying Fox. So, not technically a Batwing, but is still built by Bruce and has a Bat-type theme to the name, at least. The Justice League flying vehicle is this is more of a version of the Justice League's Javelin in the Justice League show than it is of the Batwing. But we're still going to rank it. It's not a Batwing. The coolest thing about this thing to me is the name, the Flying Fox. Outside of that, it's just a big, giant ass, cumbersome plane. That's pretty much all it is. It's just. There's something very nondescript about it, which I guess it works functionally, but it's just not a great design. Like when you look at the Javelin in the Justice League cartoon show, like there's a distinct look to it, you know, it kind of, maybe it evokes the X-Jet, you know, from the X-Men movies. I mean, the X-Men comics and stuff, but that's not where we went with this one. And I get it. You need something that houses the Batmobile, but still, you know, it's just not, the inside is fine. It's the outside that I'm not too crazy about at all. So for me, it's a D.
Bro, I'm right there with you, man. I don't like this really at all. I might even give it an E. Maybe not quite goose egg, but again, it's just Snyder's decisions with vehicles, man. It looks like a whale. It looks like it's just the water doesn't help either in this shot. Like it's just so, it looks so heavy and cumbersome. It's not cool looking. I wouldn't get the toy. It looks like, I don't know, man. I don't know why anybody would think this is cool looking. It doesn't look cool at all.
No.
So the best, like one of the best like group planes was it the Blackbird and X-Men? Like that's how you fucking do it. Not this. This is terrible. So yeah, it's an E, man. Like it's a much different size, but like X-Wings and Star Wars, awesome design. Love it. Fucking the Blackbird and X-Men, the Bat Wing and Burton. These are like S tier designs, this is an E.
You know, I should probably put it as, I'm going back and forth on D or E. It's to me, it's definitely worse than the Batwing as well. It's either D minus or I'll just put it here. Make it an even line. All right. So there we have it.
It needs to be a little bit bigger and like kind of fatter design because it's like a floating aircraft carrier to fit a bunch of people. But it's just this, dude, it's a fake universe, bro. You could have made it a little cooler looking, like a little bit bigger design than this. It's just, man. These kind of things are just so obvious to me again, but everybody's got different tastes. It's just how it is.
Yep.
Just how it is.
So the full ranking of the bat flying vehicles are with the goose egg, it log of the bat, the Dark Knight Rises, and the flying fox at E, and the Snyder Batwing at D. Nobody's at a C. Batman Forever's Batwing's at B. And then at A tier, we got the Batcopter and the Batwing and the Flash. We'll see if the Flash one surpasses the Batcopter after the movie. And then at S tier, of course, is the Batwing from the 89 movie, which I still think probably won't get topped. But, we haven't seen the Flash yet, so who knows?
It probably won't, but this is a good ranking here. I agree. I'm going to agree with all this right here.
I do, too, obviously. I regret nothing.
I regret nothing!
So, this is what we got. But for those of you who are behind the paywall on the $5 tier, you can join us further when we release the full episode of this on Friday for the $5 tier Patreon, where we will be reviewing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and discussing our thoughts on that and what that means on Superman Legacy. We might as well do this now, just to give it to the public. Uh-huh. But the fact that Gunn has confirmed that cast members from this will be in Superman Legacy.
The tweet was amazing. It was like he did this like Reddit AMA. If you know what Reddit AMA is, like ask me anything. He kind of did this ask me anything kind of thing on Twitter. He was probably taking a shit. I bet he was taking a shit. He was just like, I got a few minutes. Ask me anything about Guardians of the Galaxy specifically. And somebody had the genius question, are the Guardians of the Galaxy in Superman Legacy? And he answered, yes. So,
just to clarify, the cast members, not the characters, but yes.
Yes, the cast, somebody from the cast member. And look, we don't know who it is at this time, but I think that's cool. He has confirmed that Chris Pratt is not Superman. So everybody, he has confirmed this on video, red carpet. So don't worry about it, everybody. It's probably going to be like his wife is going to be somewhere in there. And then I don't know, man. Who could be in this?
Well, a lot of his regulars. Yeah, like a lot of his, because I'm thinking like at least it's probably the people who show up in all of his movies. At the very least, outside of like the major stars of who are the actual Guardians, his brother's always in his movies.
That's right? True.
So like Sean's going to be in that at some point. Nathan Fillion always has a cameo. He shows his face, his full face for like the first time in a while in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I was kind of shocked because like beforehand, he was like voicing a CG character in Volume 1. he has a mask on the whole time in the Suicide Squad, but like his full face is in Volume 3. I don't know. He might have like a voice cameo or something in Superman Legacy. Michaela Hoover is another actress. He puts in like all his movies. She's in like, she has like small parts and everything. She was the voice of the bunny in Volume 3.
Oh man, Floor. So,
yep. Yeah, she might be in some aspect. His wife, probably. But I mean, again, like I doubt that. If it's any of the regulars, I don't think he's putting them in like major, major roles. Also, like he clearly loves putting in Rooker.
Yeah.
In this. So
who could Rooker be?
Here's my vote for that one.
Bibbo.
Oh, Bibbo. It could either be Bibbo. I also like Perry White.
If Rooker is Perry White, I mean, but you know what? The guy that played Perry White on Dean Cain's Super. He was also Southern as well, right? So this is honestly, thinking. Yeah, you know, why not, dude? I mean, that's cool with me. I think it'll be great.
I'd be cool with Bibbo too, but it depends on how big of the part it is. I just think I don't know. I just think it's not necessarily a sign that the main Guardians actors are playing major roles in Superman Legacy, especially this early on. Like, I really don't see it. This early on in the Superman Legacy, pre-production era, I don't see it as him signing somebody major already and keeping it secret right now. I think it's probably more likely he's definitely having his usual people cameo or have some sort of role in it so far. And that's about it.
Yeah. And some people kind of judge this kind of thing too, especially with his wife and all this stuff. But
it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Dude, she has like very small roles most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like, if he gives her Wonder Woman or something, okay, we can talk, but until then, like it's a little bit of nepotism, but it's just not that bad to me. And on top of that, like, directors always work with like a similar mm-hmm. actors, like, you know, Scorsese was with DiCaprio for a long time, and before that it was with Nicholson or something.
De Niro.
I mean, yeah, De Niro, and you know, Spielberg was with Tom Hanks a lot. And then you got Cillian Murphy with Nolan and
Michael Caine with Nolan.
Michael Caine. All, you know, the thing is, like,
Snyder's reusing Ray Fisher, Jeffrey Dean Morgan in his movies, Carla Gugino. Like, everybody does this.
Once you like at a certain level. And you're going to be working 12-hour days or more for months at an end, you're just going to want to be with people you know are cool. Mm. And that can get the fucking job done, of course.
Yeah.
But you just don't want... I think after a while, man... And there's also, like, company loyalty, too. He's loyal to his people. Yeah. Snyder's this way. A lot of directors are like this. So, honestly, it's not a minus. It's totally a plus that mm-hmm. he keeps with the same people. It shouldn't be the exact same people every time. You should vary it up a little bit, but I can totally see wanting people that you know are cool to be on that set with you for months on end, you know? So,
yeah. And it's also one of those things too, where I bring up to people, if you're in those shoes, like, you're telling me you would never actually hire your friends. You would never hire your family members who, you know, are in the industry too. You know, like, in terms of like, even like you and me, right? Like, if you got into a major movie project and stuff, and you asked me to write it, am I going to be like, oh no, you should give it to someone else you don't know because of nepotism? Like, no, fuck no. I'm gonna be like, nah, shit, let's do this together.
Yeah, exactly, man. You start to form a company that you know you like, you know, and you know that you just know you're more than likely you'll have a good end product, and you can just have a good time on set too. I mean, look at James Gunn. He obviously likes having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not like super serious like Scorsese or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a tangent on that, but yeah, you know, I think, we're definitely going to see some people from the Gunn MCU world in the DCU. It's just going to happen. Everybody get over it. It'll be fine. It's going to be fine.
Indeed. I agree. that, I think that ends the preview. I think we'll go behind the paywall and start talking spoilers on Volume 3 and what we thought of it.
All right. So if you want to listen to the rest of this episode, go on down to patreon.com/superherostuffpod. The rest of it will be found at the $5 tier. You can cancel anytime. So if you pay $5, you can binge the entire 170 plus episodes. you know, lots of extra content for you for a month at $5. So check us out there. And we'll see everybody behind the paywall now.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.